This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
This time around, we're going to look at several major topics in Rhode Island business, including the legacy to the business community of the late Providence Mayor Buddy Cianci. Also, we're going to talk about what some call the 38 Studios hangover and tax incentives as a way to draw in business. And Mark, let's start with the late former Providence Mayor Buddy Cianci and his legacy to the city, especially in the business side of things.
I mean, there's no question that Buddy was Providence's biggest booster, and you could even say all over the world. But I think it's more of a mixed legacy on the business side. Many things that people now come to accept in Providence happened under his watch. Some he probably was very directly involved in. Others might have started before, he was in office, or might have happened in between his two terms as mayor. And so there's no question he was important. But I actually look at what happened in the 2014 election when he ran. And we were trying to talk to the business community and ask them, what do you think? What do you think if Buddy gets back into office? And we rarely got an honest answer. And really the reason was, I think, they were all afraid of reprisals.
What kind of a reprisal are you thinking about?
Well, they might not get a contract, or they might be harassed. I mean, there are all sorts of little, as we know, Rhode Island and Providence are filled with many regulations. There are ways that you can enforce regulation, or even, start the enforcement process that would make you just not want to do business, with the city or in the city. And so it might not be necessarily you having a contract with the city, but it might be another company that does work with the city. And so the city says to this other company, if you do work with this other company, you're going to lose your contract. And people have talked to me about that kind of behavior.
The Providence Renaissance happened under Buddy Cianci's watch. Now, what are some of the specific things that you're thinking about that he may have not had a direct contribution to?
Well, I think Joe Paolino, when he was mayor in between Buddy's two terms, really, from what we can, what I can read, had the larger piece of Providence Place Mall. I mean, really, taking care of that. The relocation of the rivers, again, a massive project started almost outside of Buddy and with a lot of federal help. So these are things, and it's not that he got in the way of those things, but these big, brash projects were part of Buddy's personality as well. I mean, he wanted big things for Providence, and big things were happening while he was in office.
I mean, there's no question he loved the city and he loved promoting it.
Yeah, well, of course. And a lot of these things were very innovative. I mean, I know that the water fire happened, under his watch. And I think AS-220 took a lot of, had a lot of movement forward. So it was clear that he had an effect in many positive ways. But it's really a mixed legacy.
Let's move on to the current business climate and the current public climate about post-38 Studios. It's often termed the 38 Studios hangover whenever anything major and new is proposed around here.
Well, it's interesting. I always look at 38 Studios now and with Buddy's passing, it's really a project that he would have embraced. He may not have embraced the financing of it, but this was swinging for the fences. I mean, people have to remember the idea, came about in 2009 and 2010. The deal actually happened. Rhode Island's unemployment rate at that point was, either it was one of the worst, if not the worst, at various pieces, at various points in time. And the idea behind the 38 Studios was we were going to bring, more than 400 jobs here and jumpstart an entire sector. And in fact, the way the deal was structured, 38 Studios didn't get its money until it met job goals. So it was really all about the jobs and this sector taking advantage of the creative economy that exists here, whether it's in coding or whether it's in design. Clearly, it wasn't a good idea, partially because, I think, largely because the state didn't understand the real risks in that kind of business. But the problem is now that people continue to fixate on it. And if you're in the business community, one of the things you do is you try an idea. If it doesn't work, you learn what you did wrong and you move on and you try another idea. Not trying ideas, not moving forward, is really the death of a business. And anyone who's in business knows this. you know, I had a long Q&A with Alan Hassenfeld, formerly the head of Hasbro, now a philanthropist, and he says, 38 Studios, get over it. It's really, you know, it's an issue that you have to be, you want to learn from it, but you don't want to fixate on it. And now it's getting attached to all sorts of things, whether it's the PawSox, potential PawSox stadium in Providence, whether it's the tolling plan by, you know, Governor Raimondo. They're not just not apples and oranges, they're apples and green beans.
The somewhat similar Greenhouse Compact was shot down by the public some 30 years ago, and whenever another aggressive proposal came up, it was pointed out, oh, it sounds like the Greenhouse Compact. Do you think the 38 Studios hangover will be with us for a while?
I think it will. I think that, you know, and partially is it plays into the national political scene, which there's a lot of anger and there's a lot of distrust of political elites. And so the Brookings Institution, you would say, is, you know, part of the political elite. So their plan that they just presented to the state about focusing on certain core industries and innovative industries is going to smack of elitism to a lot of people. And the problem is, you know, Rhode Island has a bad mix of jobs. It needs a lot of these kinds of jobs if it wants the entire state to prosper. It's not just about taking care of a few people. It's about lifting the entire state with higher, you know, median incomes and bringing on these support industries along with it.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon. We're speaking with Mark Murphy of Providence Business News. Let's get to current proposals. Tax incentives seems to be the big buzzword to attract business.
Well, we've written about this in the past. Certainly developers, real estate developers, they say, look, the costs in Rhode Island are very similar to Boston, but you can't charge the same rent. So if you want us to develop here, we need help in order to make the kind of money that developers need. So if you say that you don't want to do any tax incentives, and this was former Governor Chafee's line, he said, let's improve the climate for everyone and things will happen. Well, it's a good idea to improve the climate for everyone, whether it's, you know, streamlining regulation, bringing down taxes. But the problem is that doesn't work. I mean, Governor Baker up in Massachusetts is floating ideas of, I think, about $500 million of various incentives for many, many industries. They just attracted GE to come to Boston with upwards of $140 million in incentives. We're not Boston. We're not Massachusetts. We can't play that way. But if you want to be competitive in today's marketplace, you have to take very smart incentives and put them in place.
But do tax breaks down the road really bring a much broader benefit in terms of jobs and contribution to the economy?
Well, I think you can say that about a lot of things, but let's take you know, the former GTEC IGT, that headquarters. They were ready to leave Rhode Island, and they didn't. They moved. They got a lot of incentives to build their headquarters, their world headquarters here. It's still a major employer. So you could say, well, without those incentives, those 800-some jobs there at that headquarters building wouldn't be here.
As we wrap up, let's look at the former I-195 property. Seems to be some activity there now.
Well, yeah, and here is where the private sector stepped up, actually, in conjunction with the public sector, and that is one of the key components is Brown's investment in the area. Their medical school, they moved their medical school down there. They did a major rehab of an old building. They were the key to the South Street Landing Project, which they're going to take half of it. The other half is going to be URI and RIC for advanced nursing. And there's, you know, there's going to be the kinds of things that are needed to go along with that kind of life sciences and medical technology cluster are happening right there.
You've been listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. We've been talking with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Mark, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.